Today is July 31st, 2016, and I'm here with Dean and Orange Schrader recording. And the topic I'm going to be talking about is your involvement in Prairie, how you got to be involved in Prairie, when that was, and do you remember?
I do. I have to say that it had to do with total happenstance. We were living on Westlawn Avenue in 1976, and because we come from two different religious backgrounds, we were undecided about what we were going to do about any attendance at a church or synagogue. And we read in the newspaper that there was a group meeting on Westlawn Avenue that instead of having a choir, they had a bluegrass band called the Prairie Chicken Pluckers. And they were located one block from our house. So we thought, you know, it's fate. We should try that out because it sounds like a really fun group. And even on Sunday morning, we should be able to get ourselves up and get one block from our house to meet this group.
And do you remember what year that was?
1976, according to my name tag. Which sounds about right, I think. We opened our store in 1975 on Monroe Street, so we were living in our house we'd been living in our house for about a year when we saw the notice about Prairie.
Uh-huh. And that was prior to having children, so we weren't even thinking about their religious education at that point.
Which turned out to be a big part of why we bonded with Prairie when we did have children, starting in 1981.
Great. So could you tell us a little bit about your involvement over the years? What sticks out for you?
Well, I was chair of the Religious Education Committee for a while. And of course, what really sticks in my mind is working with Ann Pryor, because she's just such a gem. And she was then the RE...
Director,
yeah. And we worked together to, I hope, bring the RE department up a notch. And of course, it's been brought up many times since then as well. So it's really a wonderful institution on its own now, thanks to people like Holly. But working with Ann was a real joy.
And I was excited to be able to teach church across the street a few times, because one of the things I remember from my Reformed Jewish background was when we talked about comparative religions and we visited the Catholic church that was near our synagogue. So I really felt that getting the Prairie kids to be able to know about other religions, but also, more importantly, to visit other places of worship and to talk to people about why they had that belief path was important to me. Mm-hmm. But of course, our own kids and their involvement in RE was a real gift that Prairie gave us. We had Eric in 1981 and Katrina in 1984, and they were part of the first group of Prairie kids to actually go all the way through high school, because the friends they made here became fast friends and are still their friends. So we were really pleased that our kids got a firm grounding in humanist thinking, in ethics, in understanding of the importance of service to their fellow human beings. And it really has served them well in life and has been an important influence on them. They both attended Unitarian fellowships elsewhere, and this fall Katrina is getting married at a Unitarian church in Boston.
Uh-huh. That's unusual, I think, in families. Often people have to find their own way later on, and so on.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, that at least gave them a place to start. They haven't necessarily continued there, but they're young, so they may continue in the future.
Uh-huh. And I wanted to also mention that one of my favorite Prairie memories was a program. I don't know if it was actually during a service. I think it might have been an evening program where we had some African dancers come, and Eric was an infant at that time, and one of the African dancers strapped him on her back and danced with him. And at the time, he was a very, very pale blonde baby, and she was a very dark African woman. And people still mention to me that they remember that image of Eric dancing around on her back as she moved to the music. And where else would you have an experience like that but at Prairie?
Well, I think of you, too, as our auctioneer. I was trying to thinking, how many years have you been involved with that?
It's probably been about 10 years that I've been the Prairie auctioneer, although one year I had laryngitis and someone else had to step in at the last minute. But I love doing it. I actually volunteered to do it because I thought the auction was moving too slowly, and I thought that I could move it along better, and I'm thrilled with the way it's grown and the generosity of both the service donors and also the people who are bidding. Although I have to say that we'll probably never top the Alaskan salmon dinner that Rose and Galen Smith donated for many years, that at one point got up to $80 per person. And that probably set an all-time record for a single dinner for a single person. And it was we bid on it several years and always enjoyed it.
Well, the things I bid on, you know, that you were involved in, I thought were terrific, like the Downton Abbey tea.
Oh yes, that was fun. That was fun. You know, one of the great things about the service auction is that people get to know members of Prairie that bid on something and come to their homes. And during one of the heights of Downton Abbey, it wasn't actually our auction item. Someone else donated it, but they didn't have a place to hold it, so they asked if they could come to our house, and those who donated the service served tea to those who had purchased it, which was really fun. And for many years, we've also donated a karaoke party, which brings together people who enjoy singing and also people who enjoy hearing other people sing, and that's always a good time. Ralph Tiksinski and his wife Carlene have come many years, our former consulting minister, and it's always nice to see them and see them kind of let their hair down. And Ralph really, really likes to rock.
And I know that you're both involved in the choir.
Yes, we love singing with Barb as our conductor. And for me, it was a particularly big deal because I joined the Prairie Choir after taking voice lessons for a year to overcome being tone deaf. And before that, there was no question of me being in a choir, whereas Dean has been a musician all his life and has even written some pieces that the Prairie Choir has performed.
Yeah, do you want to speak a little bit about those pieces, Dean?
Well, it's been many years. I haven't been really thinking about them much lately, but at the time I thought I would probably continue to write, but I just ran out of inspiration, I guess. Maybe it'll come back someday.
Do you remember the names of those?
Oh, well, one of them was Common Ground. And what was the other one?
I'll have to think about it. The other was for the Transition Sunday.
Yeah.
You wrote a special one for the kids who were graduating from eighth grade and from high school.
Right. I'll have to remember the name of that later.
Yeah. Well, also, is there anything else on committees or anything of that sort that you want to, that you remember?
Well, I remember circle dinners fondly because I think that's another wonderful way to get to know people, and I regret that we haven't been doing it the past few years because I think that's a tremendous benefit of Prairie and getting to know people because it's so easy, really. I mean, you just sign up and then you bring a potluck dish and you meet at various homes, and it's great.
And you're on the caring committee now, and I've for many, many years have been the scheduler of the accompanists, which is a little tiny task that I'm happy to perform, but I think it helps with the programming. So and also we've enjoyed playing occasionally for the prelude with the harp and piano. And
My other composition was called Your Gifts.
Your Gift.
Yeah, right. Okay. Gifts, plural.
Your Gifts.
Right.
Okay. So playing the prelude is an excuse, not so much an excuse, but it makes me get ready to play the harp in public, which I hardly ever do. Although I was very touched that when Dalida passed away, she had requested that I play the harp at her memorial service, which was a really difficult thing to do because we were all so bereaved at losing Dolita. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But that was one last gift of her believing in me and asking me to play that day that I really appreciated and was touched by.
Mm-hmm. And that was your second memorial service that you
played? Yeah. I played for your father's. I've played for several. Yeah.
Several.
Yeah, not a lot, but.
Uh-huh. So, I was wondering about your treasured memories of Prairie. Any particular services or events stick out?
Well, all of Warren Hagstrom's services, based on the lives of musicians, really, I remember those very fondly. He did a great job with those. Mm-hmm.
And I remember a series on facing or death issues about death, where we were supposed to write our own obituary, and I thought that was an interesting exercise and really got you thinking about, you know, what would you be remembered by. And a very small thing, we had gone to a concert by a musician from Michigan, I think, and I loved one of his songs, and he gave us permission to sing it at Prairie about what you leave behind. And we really should probably bring that song back again. It was he was thrilled that a fellowship wanted to perform it, and I thought it was a really beautiful song. Mm-hmm. And we sang it as a congregation, not as a choir. But I love the music that the choir comes up with, and the fact that that we revisit some of the pieces that we've learned before, which feels really good because you feel that you've kind of mastered it, and also that Barb finds new music for us every year. Mm-hmm. And it's really a gift, I think, to see the choir stand up in front of the congregation and give our music to them. So that's a favorite memory of mine.
I've always enjoyed your group too. When you,
right, the Ethnic Connection.
Ethnic Connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we certainly remember George's contributions to Prairie, both musical and also his wonderful stories that he that he wrote. And
what talent! What personality!
And wit. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he had something called the sit-down comic.
That's great.
Instead of the stand-up.
Fundraisers, you know. Sat on a stool and told his favorite jokes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember a Prairie talent show evening where Erin Bosch did stand-up comedy, and that was pretty amazing. She did quite well. She had a whole thing that she had memorized. But one of the things I treasure about Prairie is the variety of people that we've gotten to know. And one way that Prairie has changed our lives is one day there was a program about gardening, and everyone was talking about how much they love to garden and how touching the soil really means so much to them. And I thought, no, you know, I don't get it. We don't garden. It's just not something we do. So I talked to Mitch Butler after the program and said, you know, we have this front yard that we can't grow anything in, and we'd love to have you come and look at it, because she's both an artist and a gardener. Mm-hmm. And when she came, I wasn't home, and Dean didn't remember what I had told her, so he took her to the backyard, which was overgrown, and we hadn't used it for years because it was buggy and shady and unpleasant. And she came up with this master plan for our backyard that was really brilliant. And 12 years later or so, Metu worked on it for a number of years, and we've kind of continued that, and now we have Catherine Liu as our apprentice gardener working on our backyard. And it's become a delightful space that we have had parties in, and it's quite beautiful just looking out the window to see it. And that was in part because of the program at Prairie about how much people loved gardening and how much I didn't love it.
Wow, great. Well, I was wondering also, have there been any momentous events that have occurred at Prairie or in the community at large that affected Prairie during your involvement?
Well, certainly the decision about buying the property in Verona, and that division of the congregation over that issue, and I was quite involved in interviewing architects and sort of excited about building our own building and raising the money for it. I had helped with the sale of shares that we did I don't know if shares is the correct word, but where people gave pledged money and then, so the fact that that didn't go forward and that we lost members over it was, it was a sad time for me. I wasn't heartbroken that we didn't build a building, but I was sorry that people felt that they had to leave the congregation because of it. I have to say I learned a lot about architecture and meeting with this young couple from Taliesin that had this vision for a spiral building. It was fun. I mean, I learned a lot, but as history will tell, it didn't happen. I'm enjoying the annex, and I'm glad that we bought this building and that choir has a place to rehearse. And this is, we're meeting upstairs for the interview, and it's a lovely space for the kids compared to being in the basement the whole time.
Yeah.
How about for you?
No. Anything else, or any people, unusual people that you'll remember?
I remember the fellow who made my drum. What was his name? Crow Wind, I think.
Yep.
And got this great drum that he made. He used to make them and bring them and sell them at Prairie. And it's just this beautiful African drum, and it's got this wonderful deep tone. I just love.
He came for a little while.
Yeah.
It's fun how many people have sort of come into Prairie and been active and then left again. And, of course, Dave Zakum used to come and go depending on his assignments overseas. And when Dave came back for a hip replacement, I remember he was in his late 40s, I think, at that point, and it was a success. And he said, I can dance again. And off he went to some other corner of the world. And then, of course, when he came back to Madison when he had a fatal illness, I was touched by how the Prairie community kind of wrapped its arms around him, especially you, Ruth, and made his dying days meaningful because he had friends that he could count on, even though he hadn't lived in this country for a long time.
Yeah, I helped him during that time, too.
Yeah.
And also Mike Sheehy.
Yeah, Mike. Yes. Yeah, there was another wonderful person who left us too early.
Right, and he was Dean's age, and so Dean helped with his care during his last years, but also for us, I think it was one of the first people our age who had passed on, so that was...
Yeah, that was a very
And to see how Linda has coped with her life moving on without Mike. I remember going to her home probably for circle dinner a year after he died, and she had a basket with all of the sympathy cards sitting out, and I thought, this shows you how much it means to someone to have those expressions of caring and sympathy from not just Prairie Friends, but from everyone.
Yeah. And do you have any memories of our part-time ministers that we've had?
Well, our very first part-time minister, Jody Weldon, I was on the, I forget what the committee was called. It changed names, but it was Ministerial Relations Committee. And it was a tough committee to be on because we'd never had a minister before, but she'd also never had a congregation before. And it was a learning curve for both of us. And she took things very, very seriously. So it was kind of a relief, I think, to have Ralph as our next minister, who was much more lighthearted and more experienced. And also, I wasn't on the committee.
You remember Jane Espenson?
I do remember Jane. Of course, she wasn't with us for very long, but I had actually known her through her Scandinavian connections. She had told me when we got together before she ended up as part-time minister at Prairie that her goal in life was to get to move back to Sweden because that was really where her heart was. And of course she met her husband in Sweden online and went and met him in person, and they were indeed compatible and fell in love. And I still am on Facebook with Jane, but she seems very happy to be in Sweden, so our loss was Sweden's gain.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add there? Or?
What do you think?
Well, early on, we participated in, or I should say we witnessed, the motorcycle program where Dick Ponser brought his motorcycle into the building, I think, didn't he?
That was when they were still on West Lawn.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. Yes, that was George's program.
I'm not quite sure where that program went or how it unfolded anymore, but It probably had something to do with being a free spirit, I guess.
Well, it was based on this book, The Art of
Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Repair. Yeah. Yeah.
And George had the first level of a motorcycle,
mm-hmm.
and the motorcycle couples in the group came in, you know, with their helmets and.
Mm-hmm.
When I remember Dick and Julie Bonser giving a program about how they had sold all their possessions and were traveling around in a motorhome, and I thought that sounded so romantic and so exotic, and then I actually stepped inside a motorhome and thought, oh, there's no way I would do this, but that was fun.
And we also remember Barbara Carson and David, and Barbara mm-hmm. conducting her wonderful dance programs at Prairie. Mm-hmm. Those just really, I mean, there's never been anything quite like it since.
And Barbara actually got me involved in designing costumes for a ballet she was doing about, called The Lost Child, which was the story of a white child that was adopted by a Menominee tribe. And I had never designed ballet costumes before. And I remember we were in San Francisco actually at the Gourmet Show. And at that point, I was running the store, trying to pursue a PhD in Scandinavian studies and library science, designing costumes for the ballet, and who knows what else. And I just remember sitting up in bed and saying, I can't do all this. So I didn't actually stop doing the costumes for the ballet. I dropped out of grad school. but who else would have asked me to do costumes for a ballet? So that was quite a gift from her. And then, of course, they moved to Texas, and... Mm-hmm. That was one of many losses over the years at Prairie. You know, new people come and people move away. And in the case of Herr Hoymans, they keep coming back again and then moving away again. But I love the fact that Prairie has an open heart and welcomes people to come for however long they stay with us, and lets them go if they want to leave again, and welcomes them if they come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remember the death of their son.
Yes, I do. That was while they were still here from in a mountain climbing accident. Mm-hmm. And again, we were very young. We were actually probably younger than he was even. We were in our early 20s. And thinking that someone could pursue something that really meant so much to them, that Barbara said, well, you know, it's a terrible loss for us, but he died doing what he loved doing, mountain climbing. And we knew that this might happen, and he knew that it might happen. And that helped them accept the loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for...
Well, we probably have a few more memories because it's been a long time, but I appreciate being asked. Did you have anything you want to add?
Is there anything else you'd care to add?
Well, I'll probably think of it tomorrow or something.
Well, you can always have an addendum
know,
to the interview.
Great.
Mm. But thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob, for setting up.
Yes, thank you, Bob.
Equipment here.
And thank you, Ruth.